This is Kaplan and Crew with your host, Scott Kaplan, featuring Alex Padilla and John Browner on the Mightier 1090.
Great friends on a Wednesday afternoon, Scott Kaplan and crew taking to the stream on YouTube, which, by the way, if you're on YouTube, man, make sure right away you subscribe, you comment, you like, give us a thumbs up, get involved in our YouTube chat. If you're on Facebook, I always tell people, click the share button and start a watch party, which is really cool. Also, podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, etc. Glad you guys are here. And if for some reason you find yourself in the car today, still in the midst of COVID, where the Padres are playing playoff baseball at Petco Park, and virtually nobody's on the roads like they used to be, and certainly nobody's downtown like they would be, if you're listening on radio, glad to have you along. Let me say hola, hermano número uno, grande Alejandro, 805 in the house, rocking his Padre gear and excited for the playoffs. What's going on, Grande?
If you're here with us today watching this show in the middle of the Padres' first playoff game in 14 years, shout out to you. You are a truly, truly, truly great friend. Next level great friend, actually. This is some next level commitment. Whether you're watching the game and watching us, dope. Shout out to you, too. If you're only watching us, double shout out to you, too. And if you're not watching us, like live at 3, but you're watching us later, shout out to you, too. If you found this show today, shout out to you.
Okay. Wait a second though. Let's throw out another shout out.
Okay.
If you're driving around today and you got in your car and you turned on the radio and you're choosing to listen to us talk about whatever nonsense we're going to talk about today, rather than listening to the Padre game, because you're like, I don't want to hear it. I want to go home and watch it. I got it DVR'd. I don't want to hear what's going on in the game. Shout out to you. How about that?
Yes. Shout out. If you just like I said, if you're listening to this, watching this, however, whenever you're doing it, shout out to you. Shout out.
Yeah, I'll give you another shout out since I'm going to now try and up your shout outs. You ready?
Let's do it. Yes.
How about if you're in the car and you happen to be listening to the Padre game, but wait a second, simultaneously, you also have YouTube on your phone. So you got two pieces of media going at the same time, Padre game on air and the show on YouTube on your phone. I'm just throwing out ideas here. That's all.
If you're doing that while driving, stop driving.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's all I got.
Double shout out. Say hello to this man right here. Look at him. 6'7", twisted steel, sex appeal, big sacks, big macs, south side of Chicago. And if you're watching, he's got a window over his right shoulder. And it's freaking me out because I feel like somebody's like outside the window. I don't know.
It looks like it's raining.
I don't know what's going on out there. Ladies and gentlemen, bringing the street cred, John Browner in the house. What's up, Big Brown?
What's up, man? There's some work being done on this property. There was a flood, so they're trying to fix some stuff. I am here today to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, you are in the midst of Paddock Day. I will not tell you what is happening right now, because you want to wait till you get home to see it. But what I will tell you is this. Drive safe. That's it. Mm. That's it.
For those of you that are just getting with us on radio, we did earlier a Padre preview on YouTube. And so it's available for you. And we wanted to get that on the air or out for the public, like, before the game even began. So we did some extra content earlier. If you go onto our YouTube page, again, for those of you that are radio listeners or podcast listeners and you don't use YouTube, if you go onto our YouTube page and if you just search Scott Kaplan and crew, you'll find all of this stuff. So we did I would call it sort of a Padre pre-postseason special conversation.
I just called it a Padres pregame special. I didn't know what else to call it, but it's basically we talked about the Padres, what we thought was going to happen in the playoffs, all the news that went down before the game started. So it's there. And I think it's pretty good, even though Browner calls all you guys out.
Well, listen, if you subscribe to the Kaplan and crew YouTube page, you'll hear what I'm about to say right now. You know what? I'm not going to say it. How about you go find out? How about you go listen?
Because there's other things to talk about, like my Lakers.
Boo.
Playing, you know what? I'm sorry, in the NBA finals tonight against the Miami Heat. not the Clippers, not whoever else, the Lakers. Shout out. Another shout out, Scott. How about that?
I like it.
To the team that had expectations and actually lived up to them.
I said I was not going to boo the Lakers anymore because it's important for me that a friend of mine get an NBA championship. So I'm not booing the Lakers no more. I'm cheering for Jared Dudley. I will observe the Lakers, not cheer. I will observe the Lakers in hopes that my friend can win an NBA championship.
Mm. Yeah, friend that won't text you back, but was on another local show.
Mm. Really? Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Was he recently?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow.
That's messed up, JP. That's
wow. Listen,
you should boo him now. You should boo him.
I love how, by the way, how all of my phone numbers and all of the phone numbers that we've collected over the years have all mysteriously just been moved over to another local show, and you can probably put two and two together to figure out who's delivering all of those phone numbers. That's some unethical stuff. I can tell you that right now. I really can.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I was about
it
to
say. It is what it is.
Yeah. It's whatever. It's all good. It's all good. But listen, let me tell you something. The Lakers, the excitement, think about this. In San Diego, we have the excitement of the Padres in the postseason. And I say the excitement, look, Browner has argued that he's not feeling the vibe. He's not feeling the buzz. I was telling the story that this past weekend up in Solana Beach, out in front of Pizza Port on you know, the 101 was the Padres like merchandising trailer, and they parked it in front of Pizza Port, which is, you know, pretty active on a Saturday afternoon. And they just unload all these jerseys and t-shirts and hats. And it's like, whoa, cool. Padres selling merch right here. Well, I want to get some because they're playing this week. And so I think that seeing that Padre merch trailer out on the streets, knowing that people are looking for places today downtown where they can walk into a bar, watch the game on TV, knowing that people are parking in a parking lot to watch the game with other people.
Oh, man.
All of that.
I saw a tweet today about that drive-in, how they thought the game would be like at 6 or 7 at night, and now it's at 2, and now people can't go, and now it's 100 degrees outside, and you're sitting in your car. Good luck to you guys. I hope you guys make that noise. I hope you guys are going to honk those horns so we can hear it on TV. But damn, that does not sound all that fun right now.
No, and the expense also, I was surprised. Like, I know it came with, you know, your parking spot and your, you know, whatever food there was or whatever.
Hats and shirts and stuff. It was $200 though.
It should have, man, listen, it should have been free. This is an opportunity for them to get their fans as close to the stadium as possible. This should have been free. Buy your own damn popcorn. Buy your own damn shirts or hats or whatever the case it may be. This should have been an opportunity for them to have a place for their fans to gather and cheer them on. For this to turn into a money grab, I get it. You're still a business. You got to make money. But at the same time, Is it really worth all that? You could have just given the spots away.
Well, you know, just real quick on that note, I'm going to just talk about something here real quick that's not really Padres related or even sports related, but just to your point about business, you know, how much money could the Padres make off of this? You know, if they sold,
exactly,
if they sold 100 packages at $200 a piece, you know, we're not talking about game changing kind of money. I mean, it's the season's a loss financially in terms of selling tickets and beer and, you know, all the vendors inside the ballpark, and the season's a loss. And believe me, Peter Seidler is an extremely sophisticated businessman, and they are prepared to weather a storm like this, which is why the Padres have a very diverse investment team. And when they need more money, there's a cash call and people put in more money. And they'll be able to do that again this year because there'll be more excitement around the product. So it is, I know what you're saying about it. It does kind of come off looking like a money grab. I don't really have any thoughts on whether or not they should have made it free. I never even really occurred to me, but I will just want to talk about business for 1 second. It is so interesting what's going on in our city in terms of business. Have you guys heard that, that there's the possibility that businesses, whether it's hair salons, nail salons, massage places, restaurants, bars, et cetera, that there's the possibility that if the numbers aren't getting better, that these businesses could get shut down again. Have you guys heard about this?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm hardly an expert in the COVID numbers. I mean, I'm not at all. So, but I just think it's so interesting that if you're a business owner and you shut down, but then you reopened but then you kind of got shut back down again, but then you reopened again, and then the restrictions have been lifted, but wait, they're going to try and shut you down again. Like, there are business owners that are threatening, like, we're not going to be shut down again, period. We're just not going to.
Listen, I gotta speak my truth on this. If you're a business, don't close. Don't do it. Let your audience, let your customers know we are not going to close regardless of the circumstance. And if you enter our business, you enter knowing that COVID is out there and that we choose to be open. At this point, there's way too many lives at stake financially for them to close. I 100% understand business owners. After the first time, I get the first time. The second time, you can't do it because you relied on the first time for the government to give you some type of help. We know now that that did not happen for everyone. So now you cannot put the faith of your business in the hands of the government. You cannot allow the local government for one congressman or one city council member to say close and another city council member to not say close. And so now they're going to fight over it. No, if you are in a business, ban what the business is around you and form a pact to stay open.
Yeah. I got this call today from some friends of mine. They've, and you know, they're like, they listen, could you say something on the air? And I'm like, look, I'm not really all that familiar with what's going on here, but here's what I do know. I said from the very first day of COVID, this is mid-March, I said to you guys, my biggest concern is businesses will shut down. People will not be able to spend money. People won't want to buy advertising. We're SOL. We're going goodbye. That was my biggest concern at the time. I definitely think there's more pain coming for the economy. I'm not an economist. I just watch CNBC. That doesn't qualify me. I just happen to think that there's something coming. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the uncertainty of an election, whatever. But I do know this. As a small business, you got to grind every day to stay alive. We had this gentleman on last week who was the brewer at this brewing company, Epic Brewing. He was out delivering beer. It's not what he does. You know, he's the brewer. But the delivery guy got sick or whatever, and not COVID related, and he had to get out there and deliver the beer because that's what you do when you're in business. You just do whatever it takes to stay alive. And plenty of business owners will appreciate what I'm about to say. There's days where you're like, we're dead. We're toast. We got no money, you know, but you fight and you battle and you try and live for another day. And so this group, We Mean Business, is having this press conference tonight, 5 o'clock, downtown San Diego, on the stairs at the county building. They're starting this press conference at 5 because they want people to get done with the Padre game, and people who are downtown, they're hoping people will walk over, wear masks. And they're saying, hey, look, if you support small business, and you want government and small business to find a way to do things safely and keep people open and keep people employed, come on down. So I'm not going because I'm not going to make it down there tonight. I mean, it's just, and I don't do rallies, and I get why people want to go. Not my deal, but I would say if you're down there and you care about this stuff, then go for it. Cause I mean, I just feel tough. How many restaurants do you know that are no longer in existence?
Specifically? I know about 4 on Adams Avenue alone.
Yeah, there's a lot in North Park. I mean, North Park is built on small business.
Right.
Like, yeah, there was like a protest when Target was built here because they don't want that kind of business here. They want small business owners to be here. So it's ravaged North Park.
Yeah. I mean, I know so many gym owners that had to close up their gyms because people don't
want to. Well, when Browner says, like, don't close, I know a few gyms that refused to close, and they took a fine because they're like, I will make more money being fined while still being open than paying that fine.
Yeah. And so look, I'm not pushing any opinions on anybody because I know people just get all freaked out. I'm just going to tell you right now, like, this is the way I'm living. I just feel like the numbers tell me that if you're safe, if you're conscious of your distance to people, if you're wearing a mask, if you limit big crowds around you, which is why I don't want to go to a protest like this. I'm conscientious of it, you know, but I'm going into a restaurant, I'm wearing a mask, I sit down at a table, I take it off. I don't understand what the difference is.
At the same time, dude, if you go to a restaurant, here's the thing about restaurants and small businesses. People that are going to those are aware of the risks, you know? So
well, when if you, I, when if you I had shut a heart these condition
down,
yeah,
Yeah, if you have a heart condition, go for it.
If I have a heart condition, if I have a lung condition, then I wouldn't go to those places. But right. If you're a healthy person and you're, like I said, and you're conscientious about what's going on around you and you're wearing a mask and you're thinking about these and you're cleaning your hands, you're doing the things that you're theoretically supposed to do, then I think people are starting to live.
Like at first, like I understood that people didn't want to go to work because they were getting extra money from unemployment. They were making more money on unemployment than they were working. That's gone now. So if people got to work, people got to work. And we understand that, like, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that have to work and have to take chances, and it, whether they're healthy or not, that's how they live, unfortunately. But at the same time, people that are going to these establishments, that is their choice to go to this establishment, take the chance, knowing the risks. And I think it's very unfair to continue to change regulations on businesses from month to month. It's like week to week, sometimes day to day things change. That's just not fair.
This is all Browner's fault, by the way. Browner started this by saying that the Padres should have given away these viewing parties for free. And he called it a money grab, and it's turned into an entire conversation about whether or not small businesses stay open.
This is all to avoid the fact that LeBron James is in the finals again.
Oh, my God. Stop it. Magic Johnson made the finals 9 times in 12 years. Man, find something else to cheer for this man about, please. Please find something else to hate, man.
It's really a great day though of sports, right? You have the Padres playing in the postseason for the first time in 14 years. You've got the Dodgers tonight that are also now playing in the postseason for the 8th straight year as division champions, who haven't won a World Series since the late 80s. You've got the Lakers, who have been garbage for the last 10 years. They went out and got LeBron, and even last year he got hurt and didn't do anything for them. And through this bizarre COVID year of the bubble, LeBron and the Lakers have made it into the NBA finals, and the city of LA, just like San Diego, where you can't really measure it because there aren't people driving around with flags on their cars because there aren't people driving around. It's hard to really measure the excitement unless you're just following along on social media. And if you are, you know that Laker fans are losing their minds today with the start of the NBA finals.
I can promise you around Los Angeles, you know the Lakers are in the finals. If you drove around Solana Beach right now, you wouldn't even know the Padres are having a game.
Get off it already, man. My goodness.
I'm just trying to make a point.
My gosh, dude. They're in the playoffs. Everybody's watching at home. Fox Sports San Diego ratings were up like 100%, dude.
Because you can't put 40,000 people in the stadium. So, of course, the ratings are up. They should be.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. More often than not, there were 11,000 people in the stadium, especially on a Tuesday night when they were terrible, when they were garbage. Hey, let me do this. Let me say that we got a great show coming up. Burt Grossman is going to be here. So while the Padre game is going on, we're going to counter program today. For those of you that want to hear Burt's take on whatever is going on, his hot girlfriend, the debates last night, the NFL weekend, what's coming up, Burt will be here to just unload his brain power on all of Southern California. Burt's coming up in a little bit. Also today, I have been telling you guys about this Ironman that I'm going to compete in 3 weeks. No training, essentially.
It's good luck.
And I want to tell you about that coming up as well. I would like to say some special thanks today to Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102. Thank you, Corky. We appreciate you always. And I love that Hank Bauer is sending out tweets saying how awesome Corky's Pest Control is. 1-800-901-1102 for Corky. Rats, spiders, mice, pests, bugs. You need them killed. Corky kills them. Corky's. We control pests. 1-800-901-1102. How about that? How about Hank sending out that tweet the other day?
Because it's true, man.
Yeah.
Facts, bro.
Hey, Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services. Let me just piggyback these two sponsors together. Corky says, hey, I need Gary Cooper's number, 858-376-1299. I need Gary's number because I'm going to refinance my house. Corky calls Gary. That's freaking cool. But then let me double down. Bill Hagan, the new owner of 1090, called me and he said, hey, is your guy Gary Cooper the real deal? I said, dude, he's legit. I'm telling you, he's helped hundreds, if not thousands, of great friends. 858-376-1299. You're looking to refinance and save money? You call Gary Cooper. He'll take care of it for you. And I'm telling you right now, guy's going to work for you night and day, going to get this deal done, going to save you a bunch of money. And I also want to thank Torrey Holistics. Alex, are we going to get to the highlight of the day?
No. We got like a minute here.
I can't believe we didn't even talk about the game being postponed between the Titans and the Steelers.
We talked about it with Bert.
We will talk about it. Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Are we? Are we going to talk about it?
That's right. That's right.
Torrey Holistics. You go to kaplanandcrew.com. You click on the Torrey Holistics banner. It takes you to get 20% off your next purchase at Torrey Holistics when you use the promo code 1090 at checkout. That's promo code 1090. When you spend a minimum of $75, you get 20% off your next purchase at Torrey Holistics. Today is Wednesday, which means it is Weed Wednesday. 15% additionally off all flower. If you go tomorrow, it's Thirsty Thursday, and you get 15% additionally off drinks. Torrey Holistics, your cannabis store.
Nice, Grande. Very nice. All right, Bert Grossman's coming up. We're going to talk to Bert about whatever's on his mind. If I know Bert, chances are the first thing he'll want to talk about are the debates or the debate from last night.
Oh, boy.
Let's see if I'm right. Bert Grossman is coming up.
Got an opinion? Scott Kaplan says,
test it
on cited.co.
Yes, .co.
And state your case. You can win valuable prizes
just for breathing.
The new generation of radio. SoCal Sports Talk. The all-new and mightier 1090.
This is Kaplan and Crew with Scott, Grande, and the Brown Man on the mightier 1090.
All right, welcome back. Glad everybody's here on a Thursday. Or is today Wednesday? What is today?
Today's Wednesday.
My bad. Glad everybody's here. Bert Grossman is here. He's being brought to us by the Total T Clinic. I'm going to talk about that in a second because Bert and I went to the Total T Clinic together last week, held hands. It was beautiful. And also being brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Look, if you want to play table games and you want to feel safe and in a healthy environment, it's the casino. It's outside. They're pumping in fresh air. Dealers wearing gloves and masks, partitions between players like you're an NBA broadcasting team. 7 Mile Casino, just minutes from downtown San Diego, 7milecasino.com. Bert Grossman, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you? I have two sponsors. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you right now, you got two sponsors. You got 7 Mile Casino because they like it when we talk football.
Yeah.
And Total T Clinic because they like to give you testosterone.
Oh, I didn't even know we talked football, but okay.
Before we get started, it's so wonderful that you have your absolutely gorgeous fiance, Tanya, who helps you set up for these live shots. Can she just come over and say hello to all the great friends for a moment?
Tanya.
Get over here. Because he gives her a hand signal.
He wants you to say hello.
Huh? Tanya, at least just come say hello to everybody.
She says who, like she doesn't know who's here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Tanya, just come say hello. Look at this. Look at your girlfriend, dude.
She can't hear you.
Girlfriend or fiance?
Yeah, is that your girlfriend or your fiance, Bert?
My fiance.
When you get married?
I don't know. When COVID, gets going out.
You know COVID's supposed to be like 3 years, right? Stop using that as an excuse, man.
That's the question.
Hey,
that's
my excuse.
Married 3 years.
No, you said, look at him lie.
What do you got? You got a headband on like Ben Wallace today?
Yeah. What is this? Because I'm always on the rebound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see that?
I got you.
All right.
So Bert Grossman is here. Bert, what's happening, man? What's going on in your world?
I'm just trying to live past that debate last night. Holy crap.
Yes. Thank you.
Wow.
That was like the first thing I was going to ask you about was like, hey, Bert, did you see the debate last night? What'd you think?
I think we're in trouble, man. Jesus. Is that the best we have to offer is those two? Jesus Christ. You know what's weird? Do you remember, if you don't remember, like go YouTube like presidential debates 25 years ago and you'll be in shock. Just like, that was like watching I tweeted two JV kids arguing in the locker room after a blowout football loss. Those are leaders. That's it. It was terrible. The only thing that could have made that a bigger show is if Kanye West was up there.
That's true. Oh, by the way, Scott, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
For radio purposes, can we say it show? Because CNN, once that debate was done, they all started saying that was a show. No, really? Start saying
after
it.
After that debate, the FCC loosened up the guidelines. You're allowed to say show now.
Mm. I don't know if we are or we aren't, but it's going to create a lot of editing problems for Alex today.
Just did.
Yeah. Hey, so Bert, what was your highlight? I'm because for me, just off the top of my head, Biden telling Trump, "You're the worst president in the history of the United States," or how about when Biden would say, "Here's the deal, man. Hey, like he here's sounded like deal, a, yeah. like Gruden. Here's the deal. The deal is, hey, why don't you shut up, man? Like I just found it so funny that these two guys came out last night like Hagler Hearns in the first round of that fight in 85, where those two guys just went swinging haymakers at each other, just throwing bombs. These two guys came out and started insulting each other, interrupting each other, not having any moderation whatsoever. Both guys coming off looking completely ridiculously childish, in my opinion. I literally walked away from that debate and went, I don't like either of these guys. I really don't like either of these guys. And I'm really shocked, like, wow, these are our choices. You know, the Oompa Loompa with the fake tan over here, or the old guy with the whole shut up thing going on. I just, the two of them, I thought looked like little children. And I thought, wow, that's what we got.
Like, did you get one, like, policy, and Chris Wallace was even worse. He has to explain Biden's own policy to him. It's just the whole, those are the leaders of the free world. That is a scary thought. Either one of them. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you could say at least with Biden, you don't have the racial tension or all the other BS that comes with it. But that guy's, I mean, Kamala Harris would have tore either one of them up in a second on stage. I mean, that's the scary part. And there's probably 40 Republicans that would have tore up Biden and 40 Democrats that would have tore up Trump. And why aren't we nominating those people?
I don't know, man, but I just, I had a friend of mine who 4 years ago when I was saying things like, well, you know, I just think about Trump as just pure entertainment. He doesn't stop reminding me, you're the dumbass that thought this was going to be funny. I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, because I watched last night, I went, oh my God, a reality TV star is the president of the United States, and he turns the presidential debates into a personal insult game of reality TV. And I love how Biden will be talking one way, and then he'll look right into the camera. America, people, are you not seeing what he's doing? It's like a wrestling match where the manager distracts the referee and hits the guy over the head with the chair. America, are you not seeing this?
I don't know. But I mean, I thought that was pretty effective. I mean, if you're,
yeah,
I mean, effective. Literally, if he's like, you see what you're dealing with over here?
You know what it reminds me of? You remember, like, in the first 4 years of Obama, the right was just tearing him apart and doing everything. They had 4 years, and the best they put out there was McCain and Sarah Palin at the time. It's almost like that. You know, you suffer through Trump if you're a Democrat, and that's what you come up with to replace them? Like, how does – I don't know how you do that. That was just shocking to me, that whole thing.
If ever there was a time –
that we've fallen that far, not come that far.
Yeah, if ever there was a time to try and like make yourself the cool young party, where you've got like this cool young guy, like Obama, when he was elected president, it was like people were like, look at how cool and progressive we are. We're Americans, this young black guy, man, he's our president. People were crying, black people were crying. Like LaDainian Tomlinson called into the show, he's like, I never thought I'd live the day to see a black guy get elected president. I was like, this is awesome. You know, and we're progressive. I mean, if ever there was a time for somebody to compete, to be put up against Trump, who's young, good looking, progressive, cool. You know what I mean? They came up with Grandpa. Biden. Yeah.
Yeah. And then last time they came up with Hillary, and it's like, what are you doing? It's just, it's insane. You learn nothing from the whole Obama thing and how he won and how that was perceived. And then you put up Hillary Clinton and then Joe Biden. It's like, what's the difference between them?
Whoever's, I don't know, but Burke Grossman is here to talk football, being presented by 7 Mile Casino and the Total T Clinic. That's football talk for you.
Whoever moderates the debate, I just watch it on that network. And yesterday was Fox News. I know everybody airs it, but I watched it on Fox News, and then I left it on Fox News. I just wanted to see what they say. And I was like, okay, like nothing surprised me here. And then I went over to CNN, and they were like sympathizing for undecided voters. Like, if you're an undecided voter, you didn't decide today.
Yeah,
and I was
sit
like,
this one out.
And I was like, dude, if you're an undecided voter 30 days out of a presidential election, that's the debate you deserve.
Yeah, we're in bigger trouble. Yeah. I don't think there's an undecided voter in this country right now. There's not.
Look at Browner, though. Browner literally walked back
from
the mic.
Taking him back there.
Look, he walked back from the mic like as if we've said something that's so obviously wrong, like these observations of what we were watching. You know, last night I was on the radio up in LA, and I get on the air and I go, "Hello, is this thing working? Is anybody listening tonight?"
That's what we're doing right now.
And I was actually shocked at the number of people. I was shocked at the number of people that were calling in going, "Yeah, I didn't even know there was a debate tonight. I had no idea. I'm not paying attention. I'm more into the Lakers run or the Dodgers run." If you're in San Diego, obviously you care more probably about the Padres run and what's going on right now down at Petco Park.
Pirates.
You know? Or Bert's got his Pirates hat on. Browner,
you're
why did
see,
you...
Hey, with Paddock pitching tonight, they're going to look like the Pirates, so you better beware.
Mm-hmm. Browner, what made you back up from the microphone?
You know, I learned a long time ago, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all.
We're not saying anything nice. Where you been? What do we say nice?
I don't have anything nice to say about either of those two guys.
But that's my point. Every person's, however you took it in, that's how you took it in. I did not for one solitary second see two people screaming. I saw one person completely out of control who would not let the other person say anything of substance, which completely nosedives the entire thing. Because the four of us, we're all men, okay? You're not going to let another man yell over you repeatedly if you're trying to get a point across.
Wait, let me just understand what you're saying. I just want to understand what you're saying. Are you saying that Biden kept interrupting Trump and Trump couldn't say anything? Or are you saying that Trump kept talking over Biden? Or Trump
B,
was,
really?
Well, no, because I'm telling you right now, you're going to see, right, because Browner thinks that everybody thinks the way he thinks.
Again, no, because there are some people in this country who saw that and thought that was a fantastic job by Donald Trump.
Really?
Who?
Yes. Oh, really? Listen.
Dude, did you not watch Fox News after?
Shameful for all three of the men that were up there.
When the debate ended, mm-hmm. Sean Hannity, because I did the same thing Alex did. Whoever broadcasted, I watched that network and I let it roll for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sean Hannity started his show by saying, "Way to go, Mr. President. Way to take it to him. Way to TKO him." And
of course, that's what he said.
Right,
I get what you guys, because Biden did interrupt Trump because why not? I mean, if he's going to do it to me, I'm not going to let him.
At this point, right?
But really, if you're Biden, just let him go, man. Let him go.
Let him roll.
Dude, like, he's just going to talk in circles about who knows what. I mean, listen, there's going to be people that are going to vote for him no matter what you say.
Right.
So might as well just let him go. Let him insult your kid for all 40, what was it, 90 minutes yesterday, uninterrupted?
It's so funny you say this. Because if
I started drinking in the middle of it.
Well, were you playing any of the drinking games? Like anytime he said China virus?
I would have blacked out in 20 minutes.
Yeah, really. He wouldn't be on air right now if he was doing that.
I mean, if you would have had a drink every time Biden said, "Here's the deal," or "by the way."
He called him a clown like three or four times.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Right.
That was
right.
Great.
See,
did you ever,
is,
wait, wait. Like, if did you're gonna, ever think you'd ever hear in a presidential debate, "I saved Big Ten football"? Did you think you'd ever hear that ever on stage?
Me, tremendous, just tremendous.
The
Ohio's very proud of me. They love me.
Ohio's the only Big Ten. There's nothing else there. Yeah.
It's so funny the way though that what Trump did, in my opinion, if I were judging the fight from ringside, what Trump did was Trump got Biden to play his game. He insulted him enough and pushed him enough that Biden would come unglued, tell him to shut up, call him a clown, tell him he's the worst president in U.S. history, all things that people probably applauded Biden for saying, especially if you're supporting his side. Or Biden saying, "Hey, I'm strong, man. Everybody who says I'm not strong, I am the Democratic Party. They believe what I believe. I did beat Bernie Sanders." And so I felt like Trump had pulled Biden out of his game. And if Biden would have done what Alex said, which is just stand there, listen, and then look back in the camera and go, "Really?"
I really thought he was going to drop one. "Are you finished?" Like, I really thought he was going to drop one of those, and he didn't. I thought it was just let him go, man. But you, like,
it was a disaster.
All right, let me ask you. Oh, there's four of us here. Anybody surprised at what happened yesterday?
No.
No.
Not even a little.
Let me ask another question. No. Let me ask another question. Anybody ever watch a presidential debate as intently as they watched last night?
Yes.
I did. I watched the first Obama, the first two debates that had Obama in.
All the Hillary Trump ones just as much as I did yesterday, because I already saw Trump debate in the primaries and I knew how he was getting down. And I was like, okay.
By the way,
quite entertaining.
The debates he did against Hillary, he was actually good in them. Believe it or not, he was actually good in those debates. He actually allowed her to say stuff. Then he said stuff. He interrupted a tad bit. But what he did last night, come on, man. That's not.
I know, but he had to be, because Hillary would have tore him apart. And part of it is, you know, Biden runs on bring civility back to the White House, and he just dragged Biden right down to his level. And it's like, that's not civility.
Do you guys think there should be more?
No, as bad as it is, are you telling me none of you are going to tune into the next one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's two more scheduled, right? I think in a week you got Kamala and Mike Pence, but you got two more presidential ones. If I'm Biden, I 100% agree to do a second one and just let him go. And then when he does it again, she's like, I'm good. I don't need to do a third one.
All right, let me ask everybody a question. You ready? It's game seven of the World Series. The Dodgers.
World Series.
Playing. Wait, you ready? The Dodgers are playing against the Rays. Okay, so take the Padres out because I want to make this a fair question.
Say Yankees.
Dodgers are playing the Yankees. Even better. Dodgers are playing the Yankees. Game seven of the World Series. Okay.
Which one you watching?
And it's you only have one TV, no iPad, no phone. Yeah.
It's on up against the third and final debate between Trump and Biden. You got a choice between Trump Biden 3 or Game 7 of the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers. So your Padres have been eliminated. You're not as interested in baseball as you once were. You're turned off by the Dodgers. You hate the fact that it's the Yankees versus the Dodgers. You're a San Diego sports fan and your team's already been knocked out. And you got a choice between Biden, Trump 3, Dodgers, Yankees Game 7. Grande, what are you watching?
If you said Biden, Trump 1, I'd be more likely to choose that one. But I'll choose World Series Game 7. I don't need to see the third one of that.
Oh, World Series, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Listen, I wouldn't watch the second one. The only reason why I will watch the second one is because it's a town hall format. There won't be really a moderator to interrupt. It'll be people asking questions. And so I don't think he will take that same approach with an individual asking him a question directly to him. But we'll see. I don't know. But so I'll watch the second one. Ain't no way in hell I'm watching the third one. I don't give a damn what the format is.
What do you say?
Dude, I'm not watching either. I'm watching reruns of Sanford and Son on TNT. I'm not watching either one of that crap.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that this is going to become a guilty pleasure of mine. I'm going to have to just admit it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, like last night at 6 o'clock when it was on, I knew I was going on the radio at 7 up in LA. I was like, just you guys keep yapping, man. I'm watching this. And to hear Biden say things like, man, and I love how he calls him man, you wouldn't know about the suburbs unless you took a wrong turn. I'm from the suburbs, man. I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Street cred, yeah. I'm from the suburbs.
From the suburbs, man. I'm from a place that's famous for its dump. I'm from Scranton. You ever seen The Office, dude? That's where I'm from, okay? And don't tell me about showing up in the suburbs, man. I just, the two of them back and forth. And Bert, I think you're right on, which is, I didn't learn anything about anybody's policies. I don't know where anybody stands on anything.
No. It was a Jerry Springer show, pretty much.
I love four guys talking about politics who really are like, who've always focused on sports, but the world of politics and the world of sports have become so intertwined.
Yeah.
Because he bought Big Ten football back.
And thinking that this is like a heavyweight fight of argumentation and debate. Has us all watching, I don't think this is a political
conversation, though, dude. I just think that millions of people tuned in last night. Like that, we're just talking about what we watched on television last night. We're not talking about politics. If we're over here talking about Donald Trump's climate change plan or Biden's healthcare plan, that's politics. We're just talking about two old men yelling at each other.
I'm
gonna Trump you right now. The only thing we learned is we need more COVID share to get paternity tests at the end. That's what a shit show it was.
The only thing we learned from last night is that Donald Trump will not denounce racism or racist groups in America. That is it. That is all. And take to go back home, man. That's it.
Yeah, I only got to watch like the first 45 minutes. And so
that was an interesting part, though.
Because
that was a sad part.
Chris
that was
Wallace,
sad.
Chris Wallace just put him on the spot. Like, just do it. And he just
refused and then, to and do then it. Biden goes, yeah, man, yeah, just do it. Denounce the Proud Boys. Do it right now. He goes, wait, who?
Yeah. Who? He goes, what do you want me to call? What do you want me to call? I'm down to do anything.
I felt like it was at like PV at a, like a 21st or bachelorette party with Jägermeister. Just do it. Do it. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah.
You know, and
he
and
got back into
Trump
a corner
is,
hard, dude.
Yeah, but that's why he doesn't do it. Because Trump is it's this personality type. It's like Daniel Snyder. You know, Daniel Snyder refused for years to change the name of the Washington Redskins. Now we all call them the Washington Football Team. You know, he's a billionaire. He'll crush you. Nobody tells me what to do. And so for years, he stood by when people were saying that it was a racist name. And the NFL allowed him to do it. The same goes for Trump. Trump has that attitude of, nobody tells me what to do. Okay, tremendous people. They're great. Nobody tells me what to do. And that's
you're
what
you're good at that.
I'm getting there. I'm working
that.
On
you
I'm
are.
I'm starting to hear it. I'm starting to hear it. Okay, Bert, when we come back, let's actually talk about some football stuff. What do you say?
I'd love that.
Okay, I would too. Bert Grossman being brought to us by 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, minutes from downtown San Diego, a safe, clean, healthy environment where you can go have fun and you can win. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on because I know that tonight after the Padre game, there's a big rally slash press conference down at the county building in downtown San Diego. So if people are out and about and they want to come over, it's this whole We Mean Business rally about keeping businesses open because, you know, there's a whole political fight right here in San Diego amongst our county supervisors. One says we keep everybody shut down. We don't reopen everything. And then there's a whole other group that are going, dude, business people are dying and people need to get back to work. And so I would just say about 7 Mile Casino, a very innovative company that really wants to show you a good time in an open, healthy, safe environment. Okay, more with Bert Grossman. We're going to talk some NFL football coming right back on Kaplan and Crew.
You're listening to Kaplan and Crew on the Mightier 1090.
Got an opinion? Scott Kaplan says,
test it
on cited.co.
Yes, .co.
And state your case. You can win valuable prizes.
Just for breathing.
The new generation of radio. SoCal Sports Talk. The all new and mightier 1090.
This is Kaplan and Crew with Scott, Grande, and the Brown Man on the Mightier 1090.
Great friends, Bert Grossman, still with us here. And whether you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like, make sure you comment, jump in and get involved in our YouTube chat. Subscribe. If you're on Facebook, I always encourage everybody to click share and start a watch party so your friends from all over the country can jump in because they're probably connected to San Diego. If you're on any of the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, etc., glad you're doing this on your own time, or maybe you're with us as we're actually airing. And then for those of you that are listening on 1090, if you still drive, because I'll tell you right now, man, I'm in my car sometimes between you know, the times that, you know, people would normally be stuck in traffic and there's just not a lot of action out there on the roads. But if you're listening on radio, because you said, hey, I need you guys back on radio, we're here. And here's Bert Grossman being brought to us by the Total T Clinic, TotalTClinic.com. Bert, how did you enjoy our visit to the Total T Clinic last week?
I loved it, but I had rather low levels. I was kind of surprised.
See, I had the same. I think.
How low was yours? Mine was so low, they wanted to schedule me for a hysterectomy. That's how low mine was. I don't know how low yours was, but
when you say,
mine was that low.
When you say, like, what your levels are, do they give you, like, on a scale of 1 to 100, and you guys are both in their 50s, like, failing? Or, like, how do they measure your T levels?
I think it's, like, their range is, like, 280 to 880, something like that. And I was 6.
6 or 600?
No, I wasn't 600, dude. I was 6.
Yeah. So you win. You had the lower T levels. Yeah. But and have you started your treatments to get them back up?
I did. I had my first shot when we were there, when you left me there alone. Mm-hmm. And then I have another one tomorrow, actually. But they say it takes about a month to kick in, 3 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
What'd it take for you?
Took me about 4 weeks, but then afterwards I was like, I don't know if I'm really feeling this or not. I'm not really sure. And then I stopped for a few weeks because I was like, let me see what I feel like. And then I was like, oh, big difference. big difference. And I have all my friends are on testosterone now. They either take it through injection, like we both prefer to go there. Some people have other forms of taking it. Some guys get like a pellet, whatever. Listen, I'm just telling you guys right now, and I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, Bert. I want to see 22-year-old first-round draft choice Bert Grossman. That's what I'm going to be curious to hear about.
I don't know if we're going to get there, but I was taking a different form of testosterone back then. So. I was taking old school 80s testosterone back then. I don't know if it's the same stuff, but yeah, straight out of Russia.
Yeah, this is good for you. The Total T Clinic. Hey, guys, get your testosterone levels checked for free. And if they're low and you need what Bert needs, then they can absolutely help you. Because if you've got low libido, if you're starting to feel flabby, if you're tired all the time, if you're depressed, I'm telling you, getting your testosterone levels right will help you make you feel like a young man again. Okay, Bert, the former team that we used to cover here, your former team, the San Diego Chargers, now of Carson, now of Englewood, they can't seem to win at home. They lost to a team this past weekend that had to travel cross country, had lost 11 straight games, has, you know, changing of coaches, changing of quarterbacks. They can't win inside the Rams' new stadium. What'd you make of your former team?
I thought it was terrible. You know what? I think I used to like Anthony Lynn. I really did. But I just think he's just another North Turner to me. I mean, I don't – these constant, like, takedowns of – Justin Herbert is just crazy to me, or Herbert, or whatever, however you say it, is crazy to me. I mean, he just keeps going on and on week to week with Tyrod Taylor and talking about he's our number one concern to get him healthy, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he's trying to, you know, stop him from suing the team, but, you know, the reality is Tyrod Taylor is not Randall Cunningham or Patrick Mahomes or anybody else. He's a career 130-a-game passer. He's been with four teams, lost four starting jobs. This kid comes in with no preseason, no first reps, no nothing. It just lights it up 2 weeks in a row. Whether you say it or not, he lights it up. And it's just shocking to me that he keeps going back and undermining this kid with Tyrod Taylor talk.
I think it's evident that the proof is in the pudding. The kid is balling. There's no other way that you can look at it. And that's why I think there's no way he can go back, regardless of what he says. Like, I think some of the things he says publicly is to just kind of keep Tyrod in good spirits. But I can tell you right now, Tyrod's watching the game. He knows that this kid is playing out lights out for a rookie. So for me, I think that you won't see Tyrod Taylor again unless Justin Herbert gets injured, because he's going to start winning some of these games. And when he starts putting W's on the board, there's not a lot Anthony Lynn can say. Because if you go back to Tyrod Taylor after Herbert's giving you two or three, maybe four wins, you're going to look dumb. And that's going to get you fired if Tyrod doesn't win every game after that.
And I think the only thing that people don't take into account, and this might be true and it might not be true, but you look at Burrows, and you look at Herbert, they're not – I mean, the big thing for a rookie is go into Philadelphia with a crazy stadium, or go into Kansas City where it's loud and you can't deal with anything and there's so much pressure. They haven't had to really face that because there's nobody in the stands. So it's a little easier for a rookie at that point. But, you know, the only difference is that I could see either one of them tank is – you go back to full crowds and you got to be in Philly, or you got to be in Kansas City, or you got to be in Denver, where they just literally go crazy in the stands and you have to deal with crowd noise and that kind of pressure. You're basically in a quiet stadium doing practice right now, which makes a big difference in experience.
Bert Grossman is here on a Wednesday afternoon. Padres are playing right now as we speak. And so if you're a Padres fan and you're not in your car, you are likely watching the game. And we're saying you should be watching the game and hanging out with us all at the same time. Bert, what do you make about the big story, though, this week? And this is the first time the NFL is having to deal with COVID, that the Tennessee Titans have an outbreak. Not really a big shock to me, because they're in the state of Tennessee where they're practically wide open. They're like, COVID? What's COVID? I ain't even heard of it. They're wide open in places like Tennessee and Florida. So I'm not really surprised, but now everybody else has to accommodate the Tennessee Titans. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have to move the game. These are 2-3-0 teams. I know that earlier in the day, the talk was they could still move it to the Monday night. They play Sunday, they can move it to Monday. But what do you think happens from here? Do you think that the NFL is in COVID trouble?
I mean, it's similar to baseball. Baseball had a little COVID trouble in the beginning and got out of it and were able to finish the season. But I don't – That's a B. Sorry.
For those of you watching, Bert just got attacked by a bee. For those of you that are listening, Bert is waving his hands in the air like he just don't care.
Sir. Wow. Yeah. Wow. You never been to the suburbs. Don't talk like that. I've been to the streets of the suburbs. I've been to the strip malls in North Shore.
I am from the suburbs, pal.
I think I'm from the suburbs. I do think that, I mean, they have somewhat of a problem, but it's all perception. It's whether you think it's a problem. I don't dog anybody that wears masks and they're worried about it, but the fatality numbers and everything else with COVID at that age group is so low that I really don't think it's a problem. But, you know, I think a bigger problem in the NFL is domestic violence and siring 27 kids and gun charges. That's me, though. I don't think COVID's the big problem.
Siring.
That's old school talk.
That's a great word. Kids. Like, did he just say siring? Like the way horses sire other horses to create championship horses? Really?
So, I mean, to me, that's a bigger problem in the NFL. I think that they have bigger problems than, a 0.004 death rate for that age group. And they're elite athletes. I just don't think that's the problem.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is there any chance that you're COVID freaked out enough to say, I'm not playing? Not against these guys. They're bringing it with them.
No. And to be honest with you, I don't – if a nurse has to go to work on the front lines, it makes $40,000 a year, and the guy at Costco and Home Depot that make $25,000 a year have to go to work, then why can't an elite athlete that's making $10 million a year take that same risk?
Well, that's a different conversation.
Yes, it is.
An athlete generates the amount of money that they make because that's the money that they bring in. If you work at Costco, you're not generating hundreds of thousands of dollars, so you're not going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's a false equivalency. I understand what you're saying. I understand the base of what you're saying.
Health risk, that's true. Same health risk.
No. I think working at Costco, working on front, is a greater health risk than playing in the NFL. So I agree with you at what you're saying, the baseline of it, but the comparison by salary, I just wish people would stop doing that because those are two completely different things. You generate wealth as a professional athlete. As a person who works in Costco or a person who works on the front line, as respected as those jobs are, you're not generating revenue.
Yeah, but they're still going with the CTE threat. I think CTE is a bigger threat to NFL players.
I do too.
COVID.
I do too.
So they're still playing. I would rather have COVID than what Alex Smith got last year when his leg almost got torn off 2 years
ago. Same here.
So, again, I mean, what do we focus on? And why is this more dangerous than those things? And why does it come off that way? You're wearing an Erykah Badu freaking headband, and I can't look at you and have this conversation.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not taking it off.
Well, so he's telling you that you have a Ben Wallace headband. Now he's telling you got an Erykah Badu headband.
All black people, like white people, don't wear headbands. All right,
you got that headband. That's a different one.
And then Browner,
old like Adidas one, like a sweatband.
And Browner, you got nothing to say about Bert and these like highway patrolman goggles that he's wearing?
Listen, man, cops.
Why
tend
you got to jump in like Chris Wallace and help him out?
Tell me my policy.
I feel like I'm debating two people here.
Tell me my policy.
I loved it when Trump told him, he goes, Chris, I'm debating you as well, I see. And no surprise. And I just love the fact that Trump looked over at Chris Wallace and told him, he goes, hey, I'm here to debate you as well. No surprise. I thought that was hilarious because most people figure Chris Wallace is a Fox guy, so he just kisses Trump's ass. But if you saw the interview he did with him a few weeks ago, he grilled him. Just grilled him, you know?
Yeah, and he's a registered Democrat, actually.
Is he?
Probably the only one at Fox.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, okay, staying on the theme of the NFL, any big shockers to you right now? Anything standing out through the first 3 weeks?
I would say, the big shocker to me was Lamar Jackson struggling the other day. It's funny how he gets a pass, but Dak doesn't. I still think, I said the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. I still think Dak Prescott is just lighting it up. I think that's been a surprise. I think Cam Newton wasn't so much a surprise at New England, how well he's doing. I think what a surprise is, New England used to just be, so long was Belichick, Brady, Gronk, and every outside of Boston, everybody hated New England. I think with Cam now, it seems like there are people outside are becoming New England fans now, and there's actually more appeal for that team.
Bert, can I ask you a real quick? Did you literally just say Lamar Jackson gets a pass and Dak Prescott doesn't?
Exactly.
Did you seriously say that?
If Dak would have thrown for under 100 yards in the NFL game, you all would have killed him.
because
everybody on social media.
Because that's the Cowboys' offenses for him to throw. That's not the Ravens' offense. How many MVPs Dak Prescott got?
That's all biased, though.
Okay. How many playoff games has he played in?
Why you got to talk like that? That has nothing to do with Dak. That has to do with everybody else.
No, they're going to Super Bowl this year. For your sake, I hope they do.
Fan.
For your sake, I hope they go to the Super Bowl. Because Dak Prescott is garbage, man. Y'all keep on driving it up, man. Y'all keep it going. Y'all keep this Cowboy love going. Dak Prescott is the most overrated quarterback playing right now. Shout out to Nick Foles. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay. We undefeated.
What'd you think, Bert, of
– how the Vikings doing?
We undefeated.
Vikings,
so you play Green Bay. You played a combined 0-9 schedule. When you play Green Bay, tell me you're undefeated.
What you want to bet that the Bears beat Green Bay? Put it up.
I give you my pot. No, my glasses against your Erica
headband.
Headgear.
Done.
Yeah.
So on right, the show, you wear the headband. I'll wear the glasses.
All right.
I'm
taking total Tito. I might be too yoked up by the end of it.
You might not be able to fit this headband. You might not be.
Yeah, I might not be headband so after big.
That. Whoa! Slow down. Slow down.
What did you think, Bert, of the Rams cross country against the Bills not showing up early? And then they got this guy on the Rams. He's all right. I mean, you know, he's okay.
He's no Khalil Mack, though.
No, I mean, he's all right.
Not even close. Not even close.
Get this guy, Aaron Donald.
Khalil Mack still play?
Strip sack? Did you miss? See, you didn't see it. You didn't see it, so I don't expect for you to understand the greatness because you're not watching, okay? Who undefeated?
The Bears are on, like, QVC. I don't even get that channel.
Bruh, who won the game?
The Bears are on QVC.
Undefeated. The Bears undefeated. Did the Rams win on Sunday? Let me check.
You sound like Tanya now. I don't want to hear this.
That's right. The Bears won the game. The Rams did not. Neither did the Cowboys.
That's true.
You saying that the Cowboys didn't win the game?
The Cowboys didn't win the game. Sorry. The Bears did.
Looks like Snoop Dogg just got a boob job.
Did the Vikings.
Again.
The Vikings didn't win either. So don't act like I'm going to let you off the hook either, sir. The Vikings didn't win either because they're trash, too.
Oh, Vikings are win. Trash. They are trash.
I haven't said a word for 14 minutes and 40 seconds. How did I get in this?
I don't care. The Vikings are horrible.
Whoa, breaking news.
And they got COVID.
That's one thing we don't have is COVID. Well, another thing we don't have, a win or COVID. Look at that.
Yeah, or a quarterback. Yeah, you don't have a quarterback either.
Yeah. Hey, Patriots-Chiefs this Sunday. That's the biggest game of the weekend, I think. I like that. What do you think about Cam?
Chiefs by 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I do too. I mean, what Belichick does is he takes away your best guy. I mean, if you watch that Raider game, Carr's like got the lowest, what is he, like 6 yards per attempt of any quarterback probably ever because he checks down all the time to the running back. I think it was just brilliant that Belichick actually doubled the check down so he had nowhere to go. I don't know if you can do that with Mahomes. Actually, I know you can. I mean, watching Mahomes he might end up the best quarterback I think we've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Listen, as a current leader of House Money, let's do this. Mm. Everybody. Who, Alex, you said you got the Chiefs by 1,000, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Scott, I'm assuming you taking the Chiefs too?
No.
Okay. Bert, you taking the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'm taking Cam in the hats.
Yeah. I think you are. Because you're a racist. Again, you have no thing, so you're going to go with the full black quarterback over the half black quarterback because you're a racist. But I'm telling you, Chiefs. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Patriots to cover.
Chiefs are 7-point favorites.
7 points.
Where's it at?
Kansas City.
Oh, God.
All right, let me ask you this.
It's not even fair, man. Like, the Chiefs were already really, really good on offense. And then Damian Williams is like, yo, I'm not playing. And Andy Reid's like, cool, I just got the best running back in the draft. Don't worry about it. Stay at home, Damian. I got this kid, Allaire, who's so freaking good.
Amazing.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Let me ask you guys this question. If you want to pick a game, and I know it's early in the week to be doing it, but you ready, Browner? How about this one? Charger? Oh. Dude, I was gonna ask Grossman this question too, because you're taking total T. The Chargers might need you, bro, because they got like 12 players on IR. That doctor not only hurt Tyrod, he can't treat anybody. They got Chris Harris is now on IR too. Like, they just keep adding to the list. They're missing eight starters.
I might have to go more than a couple shots for that, but yeah, I don't know.
Whatever the spread is, the Bucks, dude. You know how Bucks I said I wouldn't. Seven. You know how I wouldn't. You know I said last week 28 points is too much for Oklahoma.
Yeah,
give me 28 for the Bucks.
You think Bucks that much? 7-point favorites.
No, I mean in the NFL, no one wins by that much. But no, I got the Bucks.
Bucks hosting the Chargers. Bert, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Bucks again because the Chargers are just disasters and they'll find a way to lose anywhere. But, you know, the humidity and across the country, and it's a little different deal down there this time of year than it is out here. Yeah, I'm going to go.
It's hotter here than it is in Florida right now.
It's the humidity. This is dry heat.
Yes, yes. Mike Evans might score 3 touchdowns on whoever's playing corner for the Chargers.
I don't even know who's playing this week. Like you said, everybody's hurt on defense.
Yeah, I don't know.
And their offensive line's terrible. Again.
Well, the guys they went out and got are hurt.
Yeah. Again, with the Chargers, you can't – like every single year we go through this. They're a top 5 team on paper, and then every year they finish in the bottom 5. I mean, I can't explain that. And that's not just, you know, Anthony Lynn. That's every coach going back to Schottenheimer pretty much. It's you've had this loaded roster every single year. And I know we all say because they got hurt or this and that, but everybody gets hurt in the NFL. They don't puncture lungs. You're starting quarterback 4 games. But everybody gets hurt. But every year it's top 5 on paper, bottom 5 on the rankings at the end of the year.
That's who they are. That's who they are as a franchise. That's what they do. Did you know that when you got drafted by the Chargers, did you like walk in? Because I remember, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this story. When Bert was a senior in college, all the NFL scouts were coming in to take a look at Bert. So the Green Bay Packers come in and they literally asked Bert to step on a scale. And Bert told them, no, thanks. I'm not playing for you guys. Thanks anyway. I'll be long gone by the time you guys draft. I'm not stepping on a scale for you guys. Did you, when you got drafted by the Chargers, did you know the garbage franchise that they were even when you were there in the early 90s?
No, because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have anything else where you could actually look at stuff. I remember when we would go to even visit colleges, you couldn't like look up the college or do anything. You got like this, you had to go get their media guide and look at it to see anything about the college. You couldn't like go on the internet and check it out. So you were always up for a surprise. Like I went to University of Georgia on a visit and was in shock. It was just like I went back and I was filming Roots or something. It was so racist. It was crazy. But I didn't know that at the time because you didn't know. There was no other way to know it unless you went there and experienced it. So
didn't Alex Bennett tell you something? Like don't.
Yeah, he called me a Jew. I signed and it was like the last preseason game and I went up to the top and he was with Bob Hope and they took me up to his box and he leaned over to Bob Hope and he's like, Bob, this is a Jew that's been holding me up for a lot of money. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm going to like it here.
Alex Spanos.
Yeah, he called me a Jew.
Yeah, right. And it's like, yeah, because his name's Grossman. He sounds kind of Jewish, but he's not. He worked on Yom Kippur. He filled in this week on KUSI. Thank you for doing that, Bert. Hey, Bert, enjoy your total tea. We appreciate the time. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week. You got it, man.
All right.
You're listening to Kaplan and Crew on the Mightier 1090.
Got an opinion? Scott Kaplan says,
test it
on cited.co.
Yes, .co.
And state your case. You can win valuable prizes.
Just for breathing.
The new generation of radio. SoCal Sports Talk. The all-new and Mightier 1090.
This is Kaplan and Crew with Scott, Grande, and the Brown Man. On the Mightier 1090.
All right, everybody. Let me tell you, I got to tell a story, and then I'm going to introduce one of my closest friends in real life. And then I want to get your opinions on this, Browner and Grande. So here goes. So on October, I think it's 17th or 18th. I don't know. I got to look at my calendar. I'm going to do an Ironman. Now, an Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26-mile run. And that sounds terrible, doesn't it? To make matters worse.
Yes, it does.
To make matters worse, no training. Like I did this 10 years ago, and I trained for a year. This is no training. This is all the brainchild of my close friend, Jeffrey Esikow, who is the founder of the Challenge Athletes Foundation, who's with us right now. Hello, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Scotty. How you doing, brother?
How are you, man?
All right, all good. All good.
I don't know where you are. It's afternoon here by me. Okay.
Can I start this interview with a very hostile question towards mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What is wrong with you, man? What kind of idea of an off the couch Iron Man? Where do you even get this idea?
That's a good question. So Scott knows for 26 years we've been putting on events for Challenge Athletes Foundation. Challenge Athletes Foundation is the organization that raises funds for people who are physically challenged and want to use sport to get back into the game of life. Started back in 19.
Is that whose computer, whose phone? And it's fine. We'll stop in the middle.
But who, mine.
Is it because Jeffrey, your computer and phone is going crazy? This is a very busy man here. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't know. I'm not sure it's my computer. It's definitely not my phone.
Alex, take a guess whose this all belongs to. Whose devices are making the noise?
Never heard those noises. So I got to say, it's Charlie Jeffrey.
how do you disconnect it? I don't even know how to disconnect it. But anyway.
It's fine.
We're just giving you a hard time. Okay. So, Jeffrey, you were just back to the – explain to people what the Challenge Athletes Foundation does. Excuse me.
Challenge Athletes Foundation was formed back in 1993 when a dear friend of ours, Jim McLaren, was riding his bicycle in New York. He was hit by a bus, ended up losing his leg from that accident. He took to the sport of triathlons to try and get his life back in order. And in 1992, did the Ironman in Hawaii on one leg. He was the fastest marathon runner. He did a 3:21 marathon. He did a 10:41 Ironman in 1992. And in 1993, he was doing a race in Orange County on a closed course, and it was a circuit. And he was going around the bicycle circuit, and a policeman let a car onto the course. And of the 3,000 athletes that were doing this event, the car clipped the back of Jimmy's wheel, catapulted him headfirst into a lamppost. And he ended up paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh.
And so a group of us, Bob Babbitt, Rick Kozlowski, myself, decided to put on a half Ironman down at the La Jolla Cove to try and raise $25,000 for a much-needed adaptive vehicle. He had a bit of movement in his fingers, and so he could use his hands to brake and for the gears. And so we put on the race. There were 22 of us. We raised $49,000. We bought his vehicle for $25,000. And then we gave him an additional $24,000 towards his medical expenses. And that was it. The mission was accomplished. We did exactly what we wanted to do. But as a result of the event, we had a lot of calls coming in from people saying, look, I've got a brother, I've got a sister, I've got a parent who's suffering from the same thing. Getting equipment for people who are physically challenged is from an insurance point of view, is not covered. So we decided to put the event on again in 1994, and we raised $75,000, and we helped out a bunch of additional people, four more athletes, and again, mission completed. That's where we're going to end. Anyway, fast forward it now, 26 years. We've been doing it for 26 years. We've raised $118 million over the 26 years. We've given out nearly 4,000 grants all over the world. And again, it's just directly to individuals. And it's to help them get back into the game of life through sports. So it's not funds to pay for college tuition. It's only for wheelchairs, prosthetic legs, to help them get to the Paralympic Games, any form of equipment, sports and sports-related equipment, to help them get back into the game of life. Right, so that's how the foundation started.
So here's and thank you for explaining that, Jeffrey, to Alex and John and anybody else who doesn't know. So here's the deal, guys. So in 2007, I go to Jeffrey's office in La Jolla and I say, hey, I want to do this bike ride with you guys called the Qualcomm Million Dollar Challenge. It was the first time I was ever going to do this, and it was the first time I was ever on a bike. So we were going to ride from San Francisco to San Diego, which we did. Jeffrey said to me in his office that day, one day I'll get you to do an Ironman. I said, yeah, let's just get through the bike ride first, you know? So the first year we do the bike ride in 2007, by 2010, he had me exactly where he wanted me, and we were doing the Ironman in Hawaii together. Me, Jeffrey, our two friends, Jeff Jacobs and Kayvon Aganya, the four of us trained together for a year, and then we went and we did the Ironman together. So that was 2010. In 2016, we did the Race Across America, 8 guys cycling across the country, raising money for the Challenge Athletes Foundation, okay? That was 4 years ago. I turned 50 this year, and I wanted to do something really epic, but I never got myself off the couch. So about a month or two ago, our friend Jeff Jacobs sent us a text message, and he had a video of a guy on YouTube who did an Ironman, he said, off the couch. No training at all, okay? So the guy does the swim. He's halfway through the swim. He's like, I'm never going to make it. People are going to criticize me for not doing it consecutively. He winds up making the swim. He gets on the bike, this guy. He's an awesome cyclist. He's got friends out there helping him. No problem. He gets to do the run. He gets 16 miles into the run, this guy, and he goes home because he's dead. He can't do it. He cannot finish the Ironman. He walks in the door, and his son says to him, Dad, you did it. And he's like, oh, damn it. I didn't do it. I only did 16 of the 26 miles. So the dad and the kid go back out on the road to finish the last 10 miles. And I mean, the dad is crawling, dude. And the kid is 10 years old and he's running right next to him, keeping the dad motivated to finish the off the couch Ironman. That was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me, because once Jeffrey here, Mr. Positivity himself, once he got a hold of the off the couch Ironman, he thought, we should do that. We should do the off the couch Ironman, because Challenge Athletes Foundation has all these events all year long that have been wiped out by COVID, and they haven't raised nearly the kind of money that they're accustomed to raising. So Jeffrey decides, rather than doing the off the couch Ironman, because we're too old now and none of us can get through the run, he still wants to do the 140 miles and he's recruited about 60 of us. How I got involved, I have no idea. And now in 2 weeks with virtually no training, we're going to go out and try and do something called Iron Man-ish. It's Iron Man-ish. Jeffrey, tell Alex and John and everybody watching and listening what the hell we're doing.
Well, Scotty, so the Ironman, there's a 17-hour cutoff to do the Ironman. And we figured, as hard as we've calculated every which way and every possible permutation, if we did the 2.4-mile swim, the 112-mile bike, and then the 26.2-mile marathon, with the amount of training that we've done, the likelihood of us making the 17-hour cutoff is just about impossible. So we decided that we would do a slight modification. And so instead of doing the 2.4-mile swim, the 112-mile bike, and the 26.2-mile marathon, adding up to 140.6 miles, we would still do the 140.6 miles. So you still got to cover that distance, but you have to do a minimum of a 1-mile swim, a minimum of a 100-mile bike, and a minimum of a 6-mile walk or run. So you can get to the 140.6 any which way you want. So for Scotty and I and a bunch of other people, we're going to do a 1-mile swim, 133.6 mile bike, and then a 6-mile walk slash run. And that will give us our 140.6 miles. And instead of a 17-hour cutoff, we're giving ourselves a 12-hour cutoff to make that happen. So on Saturday, October the 17th, we'll start off at the La Jolla Shores with our mile swim, and then we'll pick up the bike that will take us all the way out to Dana Point and back through the campgrounds, through Camp Pendleton. And then the run slash walk will be from the shores all the way out to Wind and Sea and back to give us a total of 140.6 miles. Some of us, like our good friend Jeff Jacobs, is doing the mile swim in his pool. He's doing 133.6 miles on a Peloton, which is just absolutely insanity. And then he's going to do the 6-mile run walk on a treadmill. So that's what he's doing. Some people across the country have already started. We had a guy that went out, Pat O'Connell, on the East Coast on Saturday. He did it. He had a huge group that was with him, following him all the way around, and he did it in 10 hours and 14 minutes. So he's kind of set a target to say, go and beat my time. So Scotty and I are going to go and chase his 10-hour 14 time.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you a God's honest truth right now. I almost just threw up. I'm serious. And here's why. Here's why. When you tell me, I never heard of the 12-hour cutoff. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking this is going to be a fun day. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to go for a swim, 1-mile swim, no big deal. I'm going to get on my bike with my pals, and I'm going to be gone all day on the bike. And you know what? When I get off the bike, after 134 miles, the best thing I could possibly do for myself is go for a walk. At no point did anybody tell me there was a cutoff time of 12 hours. I didn't know this was a race and a competition against the clock. I thought this was finish whenever you finish. I really almost threw up just now.
Richie, it's called the theory of progressive disclosure.
So I have a question, though. When you say off the couch, clearly, like, me doing it is impossible because I would literally be off the couch. But how many guys, like, consistently just kind of keep it going year-round? Scott, I don't know, like, if you bike all the time or if you run still all the time or if you're just leisurely walking with the GF nowadays. Like, how many guys are truly, truly, truly getting off the couch and doing this thing?
Well, hold on. I want to answer that because for me, I'm truly coming off the couch. Okay. For Jeffrey here, he's decided I cannot go into this thing off the couch. I mean, come on, Boichi, be honest here.
Yeah, kind of off the couch. I would say you're more off the couch than I'm off the couch, but it's kind of off the couch. I mean, as you pointed out, when we did Ironman in 2010, we took 9 months of 25 hours a week of training, intense training. I mean, you remember our Wednesday rides, Boichi, we used to do the swim down here at the shores. We used to ride all the way up to San Clemente and back, and we used to go take off for a 13-mile run. So we used to do a lot of intense training. I would say we've done 1/100th of the training, and it will be a very casual day. You'll do your casual swim. We'll do our casual bike and be a good group of us, and we'll do our nice, easy run.
Scott, when was the last time you swam in the ocean?
Oh, no. I refuse. I refuse to swim in the ocean. He can do this to me. He can do this to me where he guilts me into doing this entire thing. And I told him, I'll just see you at the finish line, but I will not swim in the ocean. I swam in the ocean. I survived the ocean. So just like Jeffrey's saying, there are some people with some alterations. I'm swimming in the Boys and Girls Club pool in Solana Beach. I'm riding about 7 miles further north than Jeffrey and the other crew. I will ride my bike down into the La Jolla Shores where I'll meet everybody for a nice leisurely walk. Here's what Jeffrey didn't tell you guys, and I'm ratting him out. This is my man. So a few weeks ago, we get together, he and I, okay, and we go for a walk. Jeffrey walked 13 miles that day. He looked at his watch and was like, oh my God, I'll never make it. I'll never make it because I can't run anymore because he's blown out his hips from ultra marathons and Ironmans and ultra bike rides and everything else. We won't make it. This is why we had to come up with the Ironman-ish. It's Ironman-ish.
But anyway, Alex, the swim is still to be negotiated with Scotty. I've got a kayak, I've got a paddler, and I've got a boat that I've arranged to swim right next to Scotty around the 1 mile loop at the shore. So I'm still working on him and trying to get him to come down and do the real Ironman-ish.
If and when he does it on the ocean, is there room for me on the boat so I can go record this?
Yes, 100%. It's done, arranged. I have a boat.
Scott, you got to do it now.
You can't. He cannot not do it. I mean, now you've really baited him, Alex. I think you, right on. I've got a boat.
Do people wear wetsuits? Wetsuits in the water?
100% wetsuit.
I don't even have a wetsuit anymore.
Arranged. I'll get you one. Done deal.
you better stop coming up with problems because Jeffrey's got solutions, dude.
Hey, Jeffrey, you guys, everybody swimming with fins and stuff? I don't have any fins. You got fins for me?
I get you that little thing, you know, when you go deep sea diving and they got that pedal and you can put it on the water. No, I got a wetsuit for you. I got a boat for you. I got a kayaker and I got a pedal boarder. And they'll be right next to you for the whole way. It's only, for you, Boichi, it's only 28 minutes. It's not a big deal to be in the water.
Does anybody on the boat have a gun so that if a great white shark comes near me, they can shoot the shark?
It's all on the shallow end of the shores. We're going right by the shores, right on the shallow end of the shores. No worries. So, Alex, yes, I'll arrange for that. Shoot me an email and we'll arrange for you to be on the boat and we can video that.
That's awesome.
All right, we're talking to Jeffrey Essakow, who is the founder of the Challenge Athletes Foundation. And coming up in 2 weekends, the date is what, the 17th, Jeffrey?
Probably the 17th.
Yes, we're doing an Ironman-ish. We're going to do 140 miles to raise money for the Challenge Athletes Foundation. Jeffrey, how much money do you think we're going to be able to raise? And how can people who want to support this, if there's anybody listening or watching who wants to come support, just because they want to see, well, how badly is Scott going to get hurt? Let's go support this. Yeah. How many days after this will Scott complain about his ass? You know, how many days will Scott limp around?
How much total tea can you physically take before you do this?
Yeah. So Jeffrey, how can people be generous should they want to? And what's our goal?
So our goal is $600,000. It's called Team Whalen because Paula Whalen has been a long-time supporter of Challenge Athletes Foundation, and she's agreed to put up $300,000 to be matched for every dollar that we raise. So we raise a dollar, she puts up a dollar, we raise 300, she'll put up a maximum of $300,000. We currently at about $140,000. We just launched this thing, as you know, about 2 weeks ago. So anybody who wants to donate, they can go to our website, www.challengedathletes.org, and there should be a notation saying Ironman-ish, 140.6 miles, Team Whalen. So they can go to that and they can track that. And you can see in the top right-hand corner, donate. And we'd love to have your support and appreciate it. We've had people, Scott, as you know, who have challenged us by giving us $2,500 per mile swim, $25 per bike mile that we do, and $500 per run mile that we do. So people are doing all sorts of crazy things. I've had a person who's given me a dollar a mile for the first 139.6 miles and $10,000 for the last 140th mile. So that's their challenge to me. Get through the first 139, I'll give you $139, and get from 139 to 140.6, I'll give you another 10,000. So people have done different creative things to try and get us to our $300,000 to be matched by the generous team, Paula Whalen.
All right, I have to get Browner's opinion of everything he's just heard.
Look, man, this is an unbelievable organization. You're doing something great for people who need a helping hand. Like, literally, they may need an actual hand or right. leg or foot. That's fantastic. Ain't no way in hell I'm doing none of that. No, man. The walk, I could probably walk. I'm very good at walking. I've mastered walking. Swimming in the ocean and anybody's in water, I'm out. And then riding a bike for that long, I damn sure I'm out. My booty can't take that. I ain't built like that. So I'm out. But this is fantastic. I'm absolutely amazed that people could even do this stuff. But me, as an individual, oh, hell no.
Jeffrey, you always tell me.
6 miles with Scotty. Come and do the 6 mile walk with Scotty at the end.
Dude, yeah. I could do the walking. I'm a walking mofo. I'm in on the walk. That swimming, I'm out. Yeah. No, that's for the vicious.
Jeffrey, I know that you always tell me that, you know, no is just the beginning of the road to yes.
Discussion to yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's right. Jeffrey, you got this young man here who says he can't swim, he can't bike. I mean, get him. Look what you did to me.
Scotty didn't tell you that we first met because when we were riding down the coast about 13 years ago, he was taking the mickey out of us 120 riders coming down the coast in our spandex bike gear. And so that's when I reached out to Scotty. I said, hey, Scotty, look, you're taking the mickey out of us 120 riders riding 700 miles from San Francisco to San Diego. Why don't you come and join us and then see how tough it is? And that's when Scott got involved and we had the amazing 1090 show where Scott challenged people to come on to do this ride with some kind of compelling story. And so Scotty, that's how we first met. And Scott built up a very big program and has been a supporter of the Challenge Athletes Foundation 1090 and Scott for certainly the last 13, 14 years.
So we're going to do this. Okay, so here's the deal. If I'm going to have to do the 140.6 miles, Grande, I'll swim in the ocean if you're there to shoot video and do like live videos and everything, and you're willing to document the day. Mm-hmm. Browner, you must finish with me the last 6 miles on foot.
I can do that. That ain't nothing. I got that.
Okay, I need support here, man.
I got that. I think you should make Alex swim, though.
as long as he's on the water, I'm happy. I don't care. Hey, if people want to sponsor me individually, can they do that? Or is everybody just sponsoring Team Whalen? Is that the way to go, Jeffrey?
No. They're sponsoring you individually. Everybody's got their own sponsors. And as I say, we're close to, I think, $150,000 by now. And we've got 2 weeks to go. And I think we'll get to our $300,000. Everyone's pushing like crazy.
13 hours, 14 hours, not 12 hours. I need more time.
Richie, whatever you want, I'll give you. It's all yours. You got it.
You just got a wetsuit.
You got a wetsuit. You got it all.
All right, boy.
Guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for all the support.
You're listening to Kaplan and Crew on the Mightier 1090.
Got an opinion? Scott Kaplan says,
test it
on cited.co.
Yes.co.
And state your case. You can win valuable prizes
just for breathing.
The new generation of radio, SoCal Sports Talk, the all-new and mightier 1090.